Sir, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Cliffy. Robert. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Robert, before you go too far, bring me one set of those, just so I make sure I follow along as I have written. Thank you. First Corinthians chapter 10, please. All right, let's stand, please. Everybody got a set of notes that wants a set? This morning, friends, so everybody knows, you are going to see everything I preach pretty much behind me. You're going to hear me, and you're going to have opportunity to write some notes. I do not want anybody to walk out of here having any misunderstanding of what I'm going to say. Ignorance is really special. Did you all know that? Tonight, I'm going to deal, and I haven't decided how many. I'm going to talk about tonight what's called five lies about the Jewish people. And friends, I would assume every Christian in this room knows this. So everybody, let's do this. Let's take a breath. In this room, not a lot of Jewish people. I think we have three people. One of Jewish descent and two with Jewish genetics to some degree. That's it. We're not a Jewish group. But we have to have a biblical position on these issues. We cannot be part of the Yahoos in Chicago that are happy that 1,400 Jewish people were murdered. Just being a Christian eliminates that kind of foolishness. Now, just so you all know, do you know where this was brought up to me? India. Do you know why? Because the professors there hold to the same biblical teaching that we do. Therefore, they think the same way we do. My friends in the Philippines talking about the same things. I was asked, why? Because we actually understand God's role for Israel. So today, I'm going to have 7 points. When my wife heard this, she said, what? You're only allowed 3, maybe 4. They're not heavy. You'll have it in writing. You'll see it behind me, and I will speak it. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Paul says this, and everybody knows this verse, it's a believer. Whether therefore you eat or drink. By the way, that's pretty common stuff. You eat and drink every day. He says, whatever you do, eating or drinking, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But then he has to pull aside, and by the way, verse 32 is the negation. 31 is the positive, verse 32 is the negative. Do you understand? Same statement. He says, this is what I mean by that. Give none offense. And then he lists 3 groups, because from a biblical perspective, this is how God sees the world. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles. Look at me, everybody. Do you know how many is Gentiles in this room? Almost all of us. I mean, I've had my genetics tried in 2 different surveys, and guess what? I am purely not Jewish. I was hoping for a little bit, got 0. Big 0. So Paul says, don't give offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles. That's most of us. We're non-Jews. That's all that means. Nor to the church of God. So in this age, there is all the Gentiles in the world, non-Jews, and then there's a small group of Jewish people, and then there's that group that in this age God's using, the church. Now, if you're saved, you're part of the church, and you can be part of a local church, but that's the idea. So this morning, I'm going to try to deal with the question of, the issue of the Christian American, and you say, I'm not American. Well, look at me in the eyes. If you're here and you live here, you partake of America, you don't have a choice, and I'm hoping that you're a Christian. So I'm going to be addressing both the Christian and the American side to a little bit, and the question of the Jewish people. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Father, help me as I try to just basically lay out a statement, really. This is who we are. And I don't think any of this will surprise anybody that's been in this church because it's just biblical teaching. But unfortunately, some of us don't recognize our politics get in the way of the Bible sometimes. So, Lord, I don't desire to offend anybody, but I do desire to assert clearly what a Christian and a Christian American, how we view these messes. Help us, help me. Holy Spirit, I will need you today. So bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before I begin, everybody, no one asked me to speak on this subject. And if they had, of, I wouldn't. Did you hear me? Nobody asked me to speak on this subject, and if someone had, I would not. I don't take pressure well. We're talking about Christian. By the way, if you've been in this church any length of time, you have already heard much of this teaching. So, under the verses, I ask some simple questions. Where do we stand on the issue of the Jewish people as Christians? As Christian Americans, which all of us are in some degree or another, and as Americans, and frankly, some of it is just, can I say this? The stuff I saw in Chicago and around this country, I wonder if you're human. There were people happy. Black Lives Matter in Chicago had a symbol of one of the people paragliding in to murder Jewish people. This wasn't military against military, because they don't want to do that. Friends, drop your politics, get with the Bible. That's what we're going to discuss. 1,400 people were murdered, including infants, including at least one person, an older woman, looked like a woman 60s, 70s, 80s, who they decided to murder and use her own phone to videotape it, and then they kindly videotaped her murder. And then her contact list, they sent the video to her contact list, which included her kids. These aren't make-believe stuff. This is reality. 1,400 people. So, I'm going to state 7 bullet points this morning. Some of this deals with Christianity. A lot of it will. Some of it deals just with being an American. The first 2 points deal with both. How do we deal with this? Where do we stand? Number one, I think this should be a given. We don't necessarily stand for every action and decision of Israel, the nation. Can I say that without anybody being offended? Please look up here. I'm an American. My earliest family members that I know about came here in 1629. Others came in 1642. A big German section came in 1697. That's my roots. Can I say this? I don't agree with everything America does. So for me to say I don't have to agree with everything Israel does is simply the same with this country. By the way, America's made some really stupid mistakes in the past. We allowed abortion, the greatest genocide in American history. 1.5 million a year for how many years? 1973 until a year or two ago. And the state of Illinois, because of our governor, doubled down on abortion. Now we do more. I'm against that. How about you? You see, just because I say I'm for Israel doesn't mean I have to approve of everything they do. My America, I think we've made some rather major, I don't even know how to state it, horrific choices. Slavery, racism, the Native American abuse, the Trail of Tears, abortion. I'm against all of those, though I love America, and I am an American. So I look at Israel the same way. I don't have to agree with every single thing they do. That's not what we're referring to. By the way, is that clear? You do not have to agree with everything they do. But if you're smiling and you're in a stupid group of people in Chicago doing this about the murder of children, you and I come from two different worlds for many reasons. Secondly, I shouldn't have to say this, but I will. We don't stand for every individual Jewish person. Just because we're talking about the Jewish people and the Jewish nation doesn't mean that I have to love every single Jewish person in the world. Now, there are some Jewish people I love a lot. I say in your notes, we are discussing a people and or a nation, not every individual Jewish person. So can I say this to all of you? Here are some Jewish people I like. Jim, I'm going to date myself so horribly that everybody's going to go, I like the Marx Brothers. I like the Stooges. I mean, if I want to have some of you are like the... Think Louis Heras on steroids. You got the Stooges. Actually, he could be which one? Larry, I think. I think he would be a good Larry. Oh, that's true. Put Robert in. You got two of the three right there. Atong, you're number three. We got the three Stooges right here. The Filipino three Stooges. Listen, friends, you know some of the best music America ever produced came out of Jewish people in New York City? Some of the great ballads, Irving Berlin, there was all kinds. By the way, there's lots of great Jewish people in America. But I don't like everybody that's Jewish just because they're Jewish. This is not a love affair with Jewish people. I don't particularly like Karl Marx. Some of you are like, who? I don't particularly like Freud. I don't particularly like his teaching. I don't particularly like our governor. Is he Jewish? I guess. I don't particularly like Bernie Sanders. I think Lenin wouldn't like Bernie Sanders, for all of you that understand Marxism. Now, listen, but I have in your notes something important. We might strongly disagree with many individual Jewish people. That's okay. However, every Jewish and other person's safety and dignity, in my way of thinking, is what? What? Look at me in the eyes. This garbage that America is now doing, and by the way, Christians, I don't know if we don't read the Bible. We think it's okay to assault people. We think it's okay to spit on people. We think it's okay to go to a restaurant for some, whatever the group you don't like, and abuse them. By the way, that is just nothing to do with Christianity. I don't care if they're Jewish or not. No, I don't like Pritzker. Can I say this? I haven't yet found one thing I like about Pritzker. Policies. And by the way, I want you to look at me. And nobody in this room outside of Tim Kowak even knows what I'm talking about. If you like Pritzker, look at me. Ask Pastor Kowak to send you an email. Because I can guarantee you don't know what Pritzker's doing. Tim, we passed so many. He sent me the laws this state has passed. I couldn't even read the titles. Hundreds. And most of them are things saying this. Parents, you have no right what your children do when they're 6 years old. If some teacher wants to tell your child you might be trans, that's okay. Are you for this stuff? See, I think one of our problems is we either hate Jewish people for reasons unknown to me, or they're the oppressors and all that junk, or we go to the other side and it's like, I got to give everybody a hug. Sorry, I'm not going to be abusive to Pritzker or any person. That's not what a Christian does. We're not abusive. We're not hateful. We think people have the right to exist even when we strongly disagree with them, unless they do criminal activity. So, number one, we don't necessarily stand for every action and decision of Israel. I hope you understand that. Israel might be do some things wrong. Secondly, we don't stand for every individual Jewish person. There's lots of Jewish people that I honor and think wonderful. What is the song, Tim? My mind is blank. What did Irving Berlin write? Several great songs. What? White Christmas, what was the other? What about the patriotic music? Was it him or someone else? God Bless America. I mean, you would be amazed at how many songs from the 1910s, 1920s, and 1930s came out of Jewish immigrants. All people that love this country, which is very beautiful. Number three, we do stand against murder, rape, and pillage. And I don't care who does it, we stand against it. If it's Russia doing it, we stand against it. If it's China doing it against the Uyghurs, we stand against it. If it is Palestinians doing it to Jewish families, we stand against it. We stand, I think that's what it means to be a Christian. It seems to me that 1,400 or so people is probably sufficient to know it is wrong and evil. This is not two people getting in an argument, getting in a fight, someone gets killed. This is not an accident on the highway. These are people that deliberately plan to murder, hear me, civilians. By the way, why didn't they go after the military? Well, there's a good reason, and you know what it is. By the way, I believe in right and wrong. I believe in good and evil. I believe there's truth and error. And I think we as a Christian must stand for right. We must stand for good. We must stand for truth. In your notes, this is called, of course, the image of God. Genesis 1:26, or the Imago Dei, if you prefer the Latin. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Verse 27. So God created man, meaning humans is the idea. In his image, in the image of God created he him. And then it adds to this so beautifully. Male and female created he them. Friends, people have innate dignity, because all peoples, regardless of ethnicity, language, skin color, hairstyle, they bear the image of God. Genesis 9 is the first place in the Bible that enforces capital punishment, and it's based on someone that dares defile the image of God. Genesis 9, 5. Surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Otherwise, capital punishment is a biblical teaching. Why? Here's the reason. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. We stand against these things because you're defiling the very image of God. Obviously, everyone's heard me talk about 1 Peter 2. I will not mention that. Now, in your notes, is it on the board? Can you see the bottom line? Here's the thing I can't do. There was a lie. There was a book written. It was actually books probably processed, written in Russia in the 1800s. It's called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Now, everybody look at me. You need to move beyond your emotions to reality. I believe it was last year, but you don't need to trust me on this. This is my recommendation to you. You ready? Wikipedia has a great article on this mess. So you go home and read the whole article. I believe it was last year at the UN. We were having one of these racist meetings. And Muslims and Palestinians brought an extremely racist book called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which, by the way, in a nutshell, was made up in Russia by the secret police to persecute Jewish people. And that book travels all over the world. I hear this stuff quoted every place. And if you don't know anything about it, then you're having a conversation about your emotions and not reality. So, you ever hear this song? It's in Arabic. I can't do it in Arabic. From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. The river, the Jordan. The sea, the Mediterranean. You have any idea what that song's about? The total ratification of the Jewish people. This church, as a Christian and as an American, stands against murder, rape, and pillage. You just don't do it. It's wrong. It's wholly wrong. And by the way, you need to get, please, some of you grow up, go home, and read the article. And then come back and talk to me. I would probably die of a heart attack. Wikipedia will clear up in the thing. You don't have to read the book because the book is just vile. And it's a lie. Who was it? Mark Twain? Who was it that said, truth goes around the whole globe while, no, not truth. Lies go around the whole globe while truth's putting its boots on. You know, this last week we had this mess with a hospital. Our liberal papers, New York Times, you know, all those bastions of conservatism, they said the Jews killed a bunch of people in a hospital. And now everybody knows, well, that's not true, but here's the problem. The people that believe it still believe it because the lie got out there. Be careful of lies. Can I say this to you? When I heard that people were killed in a hospital, this was my opinion. We better figure out what happened before I have an opinion. Now, if you're interested, you can find out. I think actually even Hamas has now said it wasn't the Jews, it was this little splinter group shooting a dud missile. Genocide. I only put this in here because genocide is a word that's thrown around. We're having genocide. Folks, genocide is not a word that you slam people with. It actually has meaning. I'll give this to you. It's going to be behind me. I want you to get the definition, which is really simple. This is the definition of genocide. It is the deliberate killing. So, friends, can I say this? A police officer in the United States that shoots somebody in the process of arresting them for whatever reason, look me in the eyes, by definition is not genocide, even if the police officer's in the wrong. Stop using wrong language. Genocide is the deliberate killing. Secondly, of a large number of people, not two people, is not genocide. So it's the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group. Otherwise, I'm zeroing in on the Jews, Hamas. I've already said in their documents, in their songs, we want them wiped out. I don't know. Can I ask you a question? How many times do they have to say that before you believe them? But we have idiots in America saying the Jews are trying to commit genocide on the Palestinians. Have you listened to the Palestinians? They want to deliberately wipe out Israel. By the way, they can have peace in the Middle East as long as there's no Jews there. So what about where you're from? You want the same thing? Genocide is this. It's the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the aim, it has a specific target, of destroying that nation or group. So I can tell you this. In the last 150 years, there's probably been, look up here, three of those. The biggest one, I don't need to tell you, the Holocaust. 6 million or so Jewish people were killed in Germany, Poland, Ukraine, and Russia. Probably a few other places, but mostly there. Secondly, the Armenian genocide. My wife, Christy, Tom, did you guys have Dr. Panosian? Was he gone when you were there? Dr. Panosian was Armenian, and the Turks, right around World War I, tried to commit genocide on the Armenians. They killed million and a half. By the way, this is reality. This is not fantasy. The third time was probably Rwanda. Between two tribal groups, and one group decided to exterminate. I remember still hearing them say, we can kill them, they're just like cockroaches. Genocide is not two people dying, though it's horrible for two people to die. It's horrible for 100 people to die. That's not necessarily genocide. It's horrible, needs to be dealt with. Use language carefully. Otherwise, everything's a genocide, which means nothing is a genocide. Number four, I have said, we don't necessarily stand for every action or decision of Israel, the nation. We don't stand for every individual Jewish person, necessarily. We do stand against murder, rape, and pillage. Is that not obvious to you? I wonder, do people live in a different planet than I live in? I always thought those things were wrong. Number four, this is being an American. We stand with our allies. Hello? Hello? So I want to ask you a question. Christians, are the Palestinians your allies? So if I transport all of us to Palestine, are they going to be happy you're there? Is Israel our ally? You know, we do have allies as a nation. Do you recognize that? No, we have a lot of them. Our big allies are going to be England. World War I, World War II, you ever heard of them? You know, England, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, that group, the five of us. Another one is going to be probably today, Japan to a great extent, Germany to a great extent, NATO to some more or less. Yes or no? Do you understand we're a country? People say, why are you backing Israel? Now listen, I've already said I don't have to back every decision. If they do something wrong, we as Americans and as Christians can say that's wrong, just like any place else. But as a nation, they're one of our closest allies. We got people saying, why are you, it's like, you must be a, can I use this nasty term, Fawn? You must be a Jew lover. Folks, they're our allies. Anybody that's our allies, we stand for. If England's attacked, we kind of like have responsibility. It goes with many countries. And we have other countries that are, to more or less degrees, our allies. Philippines has been our ally since World War II to a great extent. And other countries. Number five. Now we come to the Bible. We stand for Israel and I'm using these interchangeably, the Jewish people. Let me say this. Everybody look at me for a moment? You're going to hear people say this. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm just anti-Israel. Look up here. So yeah, Jews, you can exist, but just not where you live. You really can't do that. You understand? I'm an American. I'm from Illinois. So somebody says, I love you. I don't have any bad feelings. You just can't live in Illinois. Or America. You understand it doesn't work that way. But this is important for us to grasp. We stand for Israel and, more importantly, the Jewish people. Why? Because in the biblical thinking, they're God's chosen people. Next page of your notes. We have already read this. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense. And then Paul strangely lists the Jews as like a separate category. Why? Because they're unique. They're different. Pechungai for your advantage, they're sui generis. They're one of a kind. They're that unique nation that God chose, that unique people group. Then there's the Gentiles, then there's the church of God. Genesis 12, verse 3, this is the Abrahamic covenant. God says, I will bless thee, Abraham, and your descendants. And he says, I will bless them that bless thee. I'll also curse him that curseth thee. So a nation or a people that decide to curse the little nation and group of people called Jewish people, you are going to end up on the curse side of things. But why? Because they're God's chosen people. It's just one of those teachings of Scripture. Exodus chapter 4. This is now Moses and talking to Pharaoh. It says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. If thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Israel stands unique. They're not believers. Some of them are God-haters, but the peoples. Exodus 33:15 says this, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with us, this is Moses speaking to the Lord, carry us not up hence. From wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us, or shall we be, so shall we be separated, I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? Numbers. This is not Moses. Moses records it. This is Balaam. Balaam has been paid off to curse the Jewish people. And this is Balaam's, what he comes to. He says, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? From the top of the rocks I see him, the Jewish people. And from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone. Why? Because they're a separate people. They're the people that God chose. They're the people that God chose for his son to come through. They're the source. Salvation, according to Jesus, salvation is of the Jews, meaning it comes through the Jews. Balaam says the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High, this is God speaking through Moses, divided the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. So in some sense, friend, all nations of the world, all peoples, ethnic groups, tribal groups, language groups, and there's this little bitty group of people, not that many. What is there? 7 or so million people in Israel? What is there, 140,000 of those are Beta Israel? Anybody know what Beta Israel is? There was a bad word that they used to be called, Falasha. Beta Israel is Jews from Ethiopia. Do you not know there's a whole group of Jews from Ethiopia that do not look white at all? They have been practicing Judaism for a long, long time, and the vast majority have been brought to Israel. You didn't know that. See, you were doing racism because all those Jews are white, right? Be very careful of your own racism. Be very careful. Can you imagine a country saying 140,000 people from another country can come here simply because they're Jews? Yes. Well, we'll continue. The whole nations, friend, are organized around one little group of people, God's chosen people. As believers, I don't know how to, what am I going to do, cut out half of the, not half, three-fourths of the Bible and put it in the trash can and just talk about the stuff I like? No. This is shocking to some people. Did you know Jesus was Jewish? That's shocking to some people. You know, there's people that have that picture of Jesus with the blue eyes. Now, and I'm going to say this. I went to First Baptist Church in North Chicago, a black church years ago. They had Jesus black. I want to say this as clear as I can. If all they meant and all that white family meant was Jesus loves people that look like them, I'm all for it. But if you think Jesus is white with blue eyes, you got a problem. Probably was Jewish, shockingly. Wow. Well, we continue. I'm going to skip the next verse and go to point number 6. And friends, I hope every Christian grasps this. We stand as recipients of Jewish Abrahamic blessings. This is the core of the whole Bible. Friends, if you have a back problem, is that a good thing? What organizes your whole body? Look at me, the spine. If you have a problem with your back, what happens? Nothing feels good, correct? You don't want to sit down, you don't want to stand up, you don't want to walk, you don't want to, everything hurts. Our friend, they're not here anymore, I talked to him this week, Pete Vasilovich. Most of you know Pete has some really odd diseases, and one of them causes stuff to grow around his spine. He just had spinal surgery. This is like the, I'm exaggerating, 10th one. I said, Pete, how you doing? He says, well, I was hoping this was going to be the one, but nothing's going to be the one. Look at me in the eyes. The backbone of the Bible. Look at me. From Genesis to Revelation, the thing that holds it all together is the Abrahamic covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham. By the way, and the reason you're saved today is not because you're special, not because you're white or black or Hispanic or Filipino or whatever. The only reason you're saved is God made promises to Abraham, and those promises were brought to fruition in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of all men. You and I are partakers of the blessings that come. As Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. Let's read the verses. Romans 9. Paul's talking about the Jews, Romans 9, 1 to 5. Verse 4 says, who are Israelites? Jewish people. To whom pertaineth the adoption, meaning they were the chosen people, and the glory, and the covenants. Oh, you know those covenants? Abrahamic, Davidic, and new. You know, when Jesus brought to bear the Lord's Supper, he talks about the blood that, you know, is the new covenant or New Testament in his blood. That's Jewish. He goes on to say, in the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers? They are from the Jewish descent. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The first verse in the Bible does not say, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, look at me, who was born in Chicago. He was a white guy. You know, we have people all across the country so confused. We'll talk about some of this tonight. Jesus becomes anything you want him to be. No. The Lord Jesus Christ was from the seed of Abraham and David. The Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, all of this was brought to fruition in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to look at all these beautiful texts. I hope you like them. If you're saved here this morning, you're only saved because we are recipients against nature of the blessings of elements of the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 12 and verse 3. God says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And then there's this statement, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Salvation was always appointed through the line of Abraham, ultimately Christ, the Abrahamic covenant. We get it repeated, Genesis 18, please, in verse 18. Seeing that Abraham, this is angel speaking, shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, Genesis 22, again, Abraham. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. 26:4. Now we've moved on to Isaac. He says, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thee thy seed of all nations, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. My friend, salvation was always of the Jews. Jesus says that in John 4. It's just obvious. It was always when God instituted, what am I going to do about this mess? The backbone of the Bible is the Abrahamic covenant. The covenants of promise, if you put all three, Abrahamic, Davidic, and the new. And this ties it all together, and it roots it in these promises made to Abraham. We benefit, we are blessed, we are recipients of this promise. Chapter 28, verse 14. Now we're talking to Jacob. It says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Could you imagine? I got over here Cliffy. Cliffy's from some place called Dumaguete. Nobody knows where it's at. God had your people in mind. I'm talking about the people from that area of the Philippines. Your wife, a much better place, of course, Cebu. God had those people in mind. God had people in southwestern Illinois in mind. God had all families, tribal groups, language groups, people groups in mind that would be blessed through the promises made to Abraham brought to fruition in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our salvation, Christ alone. Psalm 72. His name, talking about the Lord, shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Chapter 3, verse 25 of Acts. You are the children of the prophets. He's speaking to Jewish people here. And of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds, that's tribal groups, of the earth be blessed. That is where salvation is found. It's not found in a church. It's not found in baptism. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the culmination of all of the prophecies come to bear, and that's where we find salvation. Please look at me. For you to hate Jewish people and hate the nation of Israel is odd. Because your very salvation is rooted in that Bible. That's the whole backbone of the Bible. Well, we look at Galatians chapter 3. Paul is discussing justification by faith alone. And he quotes Abraham again and says, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify, and the King James translates as heathen, Gentiles, the nations, that God is going to justify not all people, but the nations through what? Faith. It's going to be faith alone in Christ alone. That's how we get saved. Preach before the gospel unto old Abraham, saying, in thee, Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. Friend, that is the hope. That is the center of it all. We are recipients of the Abrahamic, Davidic, and New Covenants, elements of them, and they are Jewish Abrahamic blessings. Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. But why and how did he bless us? Just because we're good people? No. He says, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, which is the ultimate fulfillment of it all. Colossians chapter 3, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, American, English, French, Polish, or any other group, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. My friends, we stand as recipients of Jewish Abrahamic blessings. So everyone look at me. A lot of movement. Is this this hard? By the way, if you walk away from here not being able to state these seven bullet points, I have failed and you have failed. Because this is Christianity as an American. So, simply stated, we don't necessarily agree with everything Israel ever does. Not required. Secondly, we don't necessarily like and stand for every single Jewish person. If they're the Stooges, I'm for them. If they're the Marx Brothers, I'm definitely for it. And I'm sorry, I have dated myself. I look around here and I'm thinking 75% of the people have no idea who Harpo and Groucho and, wow, Chico. You kind of look like Chico, come to think of it. Thirdly, we do stand against murder, rape, and pillage. Fourthly, we stand with our allies, unless our allies are so ugly wrong that we can't. We stand for Israel and the Jewish people because they are God's chosen people. Number six, we stand as recipients. I hope you just agree. Let's do this. Let's turn to John chapter 4, would you please? John chapter 4. I don't want you to just believe I'm saying something. John chapter 4, please. All right, let me see if I can find it. Yes, John chapter 4, and we will start in verse 22. Jesus is dealing with the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritans, they had their own religion. Everybody creates their own religion. There's been a lot of that going on. Verse 22, Jesus just simply says, and by the way, can I say this to everybody? I hear people all the time saying, Pastor, we really like our worship. Would you shut up with that kind of talk? This is what Jesus says about that. You know what? You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of. Friends, you better get that in your heart. That's right out of the mouth of Jesus. Salvations of the Jews. Well, we come to the seventh point. We stand far and with Israel and the Jewish people. And this is something that would take another hour, which we're not going to do. Despite their paradoxical position. So, friends, what's a paradox? What's a paradox? Things that don't fit together? Things that don't make sense? So here's the paradox. According to the New Testament, Jesus came to his own people. Excuse me, he came to his own world, and his own people, is what it means in Greek, his own people rejected him. There's no question, Matthew says it in a couple different ways, the Jewish people, look at this, have been set aside. But what Paul is going to say, that doesn't change their position under God in one sense. Now they stand in a paradoxical position. Because today, there's not only Jews and Gentiles, there's this thing called the church, and God is calling out of all nations a people for his name into the universal church and local churches. That's what God is doing. He doesn't, you know, God is interested in every group, skin color, hair color, language. He's reaching and saving all people, gathering them together. What about the Jews? What happened to the Jews? I'll talk more about this in another service. They have been set aside. They have, they have suffered greatly. The temple was destroyed in AD 70, direct consequence of how they treated Jesus, their Messiah. There's no question they now stand in this paradox, and here's the paradox. Between being God's chosen people on one side, and on the other side, being unsaved, not believers in the Messiah. They stand in a weird position. And Paul directly states that. Romans 11. So please, do not make up religion. There is a group that's made up religion that the Jews are saved simply because they're Jews. No. We're saved all the same way, through the Abrahamic covenant, the ultimate seed, which is the Messiah, which is Christ. Paul says, concluding this great chapter, chapter 11 of Romans, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. So the gospel, Paul fought with Jewish people every step of the way because they kept rejecting the Messiah. They persecuted Paul. So in one sense, they're enemies for the gospel. But look what else it says. But it's touching the election, meaning God's choice, God choosing them as his people. They are beloved for the Father's sake, for the sake of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and forward. So the Jewish people today stand in a paradoxical position. They are in one sense beloved, chosen, God's people, and in another sense enemies of the very God that we're talking about. Mostly, there are obviously some Jewish people saved. And here's what a Christian does. A Christian has to understand, have you ever talked to Jewish people? Listen, we had a lady sat over here. It's been a long, long time. Back in the 70s, before most of you were born, I worked with a lady named Lena Turner. Turner was her married name. I do not even remember her maiden name. Mrs. Turner's family was all Ashkenazi Jews from Russia. In the 70s, are you listening? I witnessed to Mrs. Turner. I still remember her reply. She said to me, "Ralph, I cannot become a Christian. Christians murdered my whole family." And now we have racists in this country that want to help. But she wasn't saved, friend. I was gone from this church for 15 years, 81 to 96. I come back and I look up two people, Willa Wallace and Lena Turner. My wife, when I would go over, we visited Miss Turner two or three times. I don't know, we had a meal or whatever with her. Through a process of time, her husband died. She didn't have anybody to do the service. She asked me. And through the process of time, some of you remember this. Mrs. Turner was old. She was in her 80s. She had Parkinson's, terribly bad. She had had surgery. But Mrs. Turner got saved. And see, some of you have no idea what I'm talking. This is the woman that said, I can't be a Christian. Christians killed my whole family. In the name of God? So look at me, friends. We conclude with this. We're the Jewish people today. For me, I can't stand Biden, whatever's left of his small brain. I hope Trump is never within 1,000 miles of presidency. I'd rather have Netanyahu any day of the week. That's just personal opinion. He's smarter than most of the idiots we have. But let me say this. I recognize even the conservative Orthodox Jewish people are not believers. What do I think of them? I recognize they're in this weird place. They're beloved and chosen, adopted because of the fathers. God chose to bring salvation through the Jews. But yet on the other side, they're enemies. That's what I think our church, this is our position. It's not really difficult. Can I say it? It's just being a Christian American. We don't necessarily stand for every action and decision of Israel. We don't necessarily stand for every individual Jewish person. So if you meet a Jewish person that's terrible, look at me. There's lots of people that are terrible. There's lots of people I don't like from lots of places. Now, that doesn't mean you abuse them. It just simply means, well, but it's not Jewish, it's just people. We do stand against murder, rape, and pillage. We stand with our allies as a country. We stand for Israel and the Jewish people because they are God's chosen people. We stand as recipients of the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah who came, who gave his life for us, fulfilling the backbone, the promises of the Bible. Our salvation is in that. And yes, we stand for and with Israel and the Jewish people, despite they're in this weird place. And look at me, I don't have time. Every passage that talks about it, Matthew 23 that talks about all of this is going to come upon you right now, also says, I'm not going to talk to you until. There's always that until, because one day God is going to work with the Jewish people, mass conversions in the end of time. That's what we look forward for. For now, we stand with our allies. We recognize their position. We pray for their salvation. We pray for their safety. And yes, we don't necessarily say every little decision that Netanyahu does is from God. We recognize they're humans. That's the way I think about this. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. It is a very strange thing for many people to have grown up in a church and never really understood that salvation's of the Jews, that almost think salvation is simply because God just loved us so much. Yes, God did love us, that he made promises to a people that he chose, that through that people he was going to raise up the Messiah, and that Messiah, the Mashiach, the Christos, was going to give himself for our sins on the cross, that we also could be partakers of elements of the Abrahamic, Davidic, and New Covenant. And we look forward to the day when the Jewish people, according to Zechariah 12, will look upon him whom they have pierced. And there will be a great turning to the Messiah. Until then, we pray for peace in Jerusalem, like the Psalms say. We pray for wisdom for their leadership, wisdom for our leadership. We pray that we will always hold out the gospel to all peoples. May it be so, we ask in Jesus' name.